We'll move straight on. My next speaker is to my immediate left, Dywell Fay from the Lisa Lisi project in Glasgow, which I have to say I'm unfamiliar with, but I'm looking forward to hearing what Dywell has to address. Dywell.
Morning. I've got a short time, so I better go straight away to my speech, if you don't mind. Ladies and gentlemen, in the 1960s and the 1970s, African countries became in debt to international lenders and they accepted loans for political and economic stabilization in the post-independence period. In the context of the Cold War, and with massive revenue surpluses of oil money in Western banks, loans were made with little thought to the purpose of to the recipient's capacity to repay the debt. Many were made to return the loyalty of corrupt regimes, and much of the money went into the hands of unrepresentative and repressive governments. Sub-Saharan African massive external debt is the single biggest obstacle to the continent's development. The $300 billion that African countries owe to foreign creditors represents a problem that fundamentally slows down progress in every sector. The 48 countries of Sub-Saharan Africa spend approximately $13.5 billion every year repaying debts to rich foreign creditors for past loans of questionable legitimacy. These debt repayments divert money directly from basic human needs such as healthcare and education against the African government's effort to promote sustainable development. We call for the cancellation of Africa's foreign debt, which we consider in large part to be illegitimate based on its origins and consequences. Demanding to the African people and the new governments to now pay for the corruption and mismanagement done by previous regimes is simply unjust. These debts are illegitimate and should be cancelled right now. Ladies and gentlemen, in most cases, the debt was contracted by non-democratic governments that were often supported by industrialized countries. The borrowed money was used to finance repressive and never helped the people of the indebted countries. The misappropriation of public loans were systematically organized in full knowledge of public and private loaners in Western countries. In terms of international law, the odious debt that results from such loans is invalid. In the specific case of Sub-Saharan Africa, an historical argument in favor of an unconditional cancellation is that what is owed to Western loaners is only a tiny portion of what Europeans have stolen there since the 15th century. Africa has already paid more than enough. It's time for a far more bold approach for the African debt crisis. The World Bank and the International Monetary Fund can and must do more, and the G8 as leader must use its great power within these two institutions to push for real progress toward debt cancellation. Talking about the G8, Africa is supposed to be a priority for these leading rich nations. Mm-hmm. On African debt problems, the G8 is the driving force behind any plan that makes clear progress. But critics say that the G8 should be pressing for more aid for more countries more quickly. Rich countries are very interested in talking about the importance of trade as the primary motor of economic growth in developing countries. Yet there has been no real action because these rich countries have to protect their own market against exports from the poorest countries through import duties and quotas. What rich countries fail to realize is that fairer trade is not just an opportunity for Africa, but for all the countries, even them. Ladies and gentlemen, the richest nation must open the markets, quota and duty-free to African exports. African countries must be allowed to control the power of trade in their own way to maximize poverty improvement and economic growth. Thank you.
Thank you, Doc.